Walmart.
Savings may vary. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
3 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock. Gym class for a Monday coming your way right here on KGYN. What a weekend it was. Basketball, racing, other sports. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Michael Oss will also be joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, the sports columnist for the paper. And he was in Ames over the weekend for Iowa State and Baylor. Iowa State back at the top 25 today. The Cyclone men, they are cemented into the tournament. Cyclone women now. Looking pretty good for the tournament. The Iowa women, they're right on the bubble for the NCAA tournament. So we'll talk about that. Girls State basketball tournament getting underway and a whole lot more. It is a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Keep it right here at KGYM. And from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on a sunny Monday, we welcome you in. It is a gym class here at KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Alex Kuhn is in Des Moines today as he will be bringing coverage of the Girls State Basketball Tournament today. Had the call on the Springville win earlier on today. Springville setting a record. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a moment. He'll have the call of Iowa City Regina and Logan Magnolia coming up here in just a little bit. That'll be on 106.3 FM, and then they'll shift over after that. The Regina game, by the way, I believe a 4:45 start time. Then they'll shift over to 107.5 FM coming up after that for North Lynn taking on Western Christian, while Phil Dunn and I will be at the U.S. Cellular Center as it'll be boys Substate 3A doubleheader basketball tonight for the finals. Game one on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM coming up tonight at 6:20. It'll be Xavier taking on Dubuque Wallert. That'll be followed by Center Point Urbana and West Delaware tonight. That will be on all three of the frequencies at about 8:15 tonight or so. And we've got the schedule up right now through Wednesday. Because after that, it's kind of all up in the air again. But we know Springville is going to be playing on Thursday. We'll have that game for you. Breakfast at the Well again at 9:45 right here on KGYM.
Tends to make the head spin. I don't have to tell you that. In fact, your head is spinning a little bit. You got a bit of a cold.
Oh, jeez.
You're making it through.
Why in the world? This 4.5-week stretch here. Got through the first 2.5 weeks. And I knew Saturday night it was coming. Hit me Sunday. And here we are. It's not horrible. I don't sound I'm like that. But it's not. It's a sinus cold.
Mm-hmm. I can relate.
I have the nose is very stuffed right now. So I hope I sound relatively normal.
Play-by-play of 5 basketball games today, 3 from Des Moines, 2, as you mentioned tonight, at the U.S. Cellular Center. You and Alex Kuhn on the calls today. Jeff Downing going to join the party tomorrow.
That is
for
correct.
Center Point Urbana. And stay tuned because we're going to have a ton of high school basketball postseason action here on KGYM. And check out the frequencies because they're going to hop around. Local programming is going to be affected. The APC, I think, is out early tonight.
Yes,
so,
that is the case.
Yeah. It's a fun time of year. A great time of year.
It is a great time of the year and a fun time of the year as well. And it's already underway at the Girls State Basketball Tournament earlier on today. And it was a record-breaking performance by the Springville Orioles today. And a lot of people might be coming home from Des Moines right now, a lot of the O's fans out there. And they had a defensive day for the ages at Wells Fargo Arena today. Unbelievable.
Well, their zone defense is known for creating a lot of steals, and they did more of that today. They being the Orioles of Springville. And as you know, Scott, this program is not finished just this year. It's still a young team.
Correct.
And you're going to hear a whole lot more out of Springville, but one of its nemeses, Turkey Valley, was challenged to the limit, Scott, but you've got a result on that.
Yeah, Turkey Valley was down to Janesville. Now, remember, Janesville won the state championship They won the volleyball state championship.
Unbeaten in basketball.
Yeah. Good team.
Mm-hmm.
Very good team. Turkey Valley is as well. And Janesville had a lead most of the ball game. And it came down to the wire.
8-0 run by Turkey Valley.
To end it.
Mm-hmm.
And they win it by a score, I believe, of 50-48. Hold on, because they're having all sorts of... What's new? They're
60-58.
60-50. They're having all sorts of problems with the stats. Denny Gettle texted me that earlier today. He goes, it took 3 seconds into the game for the clock to malfunction for the first time.
It did. That was morning. A heck of a way to get the state tournament off. Yeah,
We got to stop it here. But yeah, 60-58. They scored the final eight behind Shelby Reeks. And so Turkey Valley advances, and they will take on either Exira, Elkhorn, Kimbleton, or Sydney. The Sydney Cowgirls. That's what they call them. They're the Cowboys, but you can't really call them Cowboys. You know where I'm going on this. But anyway, that'll be the second of the semifinals coming up. Springville will play on Thursday morning. We'll have it for you on KGYM beginning at 9:45 on 107.5 and 106.3.
Worst or best nickname in girls' basketball history, the Everly Cattle Feeders.
It's either that or the Esterville Midgets. One or the other. Yeah, and
Everly's no longer.
They're with Clay Central now, so it's Clay Central Everly. And Esterville, Lincoln Central, still the Midgets, but now they have Lincoln Central in there with them as well. So there's your history lesson today as far as the maybe best or worst nicknames are concerned.
Great doubleheader tomorrow night as well at the U.S. Cell Center. We're going to get a chance to see Joe Wieskamp and perhaps Joel. Our friend Joel and Muscatine.
Joel from Muscatine should be there.
Yeah, and Dandy doubleheader tomorrow as well.
Yeah, doubleheader tonight is Wallert and Xavier. Last year's 3A championship game rematch in the sub-state final tonight. That will be at 6:30. Then around 8:15, number 1 West Delaware will take on Centerpoint Urbana. And West Delaware the favorite, obviously, but don't discount CPU. They played very tough in their regular season matchup. It was 11-point game, but CPU, it was a 2-point game early in that fourth quarter when they met in the regular season. And then tomorrow night, you mentioned Hawkeye fans probably will be at the Cell Center in droves tomorrow night because you're going to get to see Iowa City West and Muscatine at 6:30. We'll have that one for you here on KGYM on the FMs. Joe Wieskamp for Muscatine, who leads 4A in scoring, has had an absolutely remarkable junior season, going up against Connor McCaffrey, Patrick McCaffrey, Devontae Lane, the rest of the bunch from Iowa City West. And then to follow that, it'll be A.J. Green in Cedar Falls, who's gotten all kinds of offers as far as scholarships are concerned, taking on the Kennedy Cougars, who had to go to Coe College on Saturday to play their game against Mason City.
Great individual talent on display tomorrow night and tonight, actually. Just downtown, so take it in if you can.
Yeah, take it in.
If you can't,
listen here. Or do both. Take your radio and listen in. Make sure we get it right tomorrow and tonight. And, you know, if my voice goes, then you can just tag in. All right, so that's the girls' state basketball tournament and the boys' state basketball tournament going on right now, and you can catch all that at kgymradio.com. We'll have, like I said, we have the entire schedule right now through Wednesday. We'll just kind of go on a day-by-day basis because we don't exactly know. We got Iowa State tomorrow night as well. Iowa State on senior night will host Oklahoma State, and coming off the big win over the Baylor Bears, Iowa State is back in the top 25 this week as the Cyclones are in there at number 24. I think a deserving honor for this Iowa State team. They're starting to play their best basketball at this point of the year. They're getting better and better. And when you hit shots, we're going to talk about this with Mike Halas. I could not recall a team getting just pummeled like they did, Iowa State did on the offensive glass.
Mm-hmm.
And winning the game. You got to shoot well to do that. And Iowa State's been shooting well lately. Shooting cures all evils in basketball, Mark. When the biscuit goes in the basket, you can do a lot of good things.
Well, that was true in Ames. And Mike Halas wrote about that in his Sunday piece in regards to being really dominated in a couple areas, but prevailing. And you talked about shooting. It happened in College Park, Maryland as well, as Iowa defeated Maryland. And I was talking to Tyler Ryder before the program, and I mean, you just look at it. I was on the road to a ranked team who just moments earlier got a break and had an opportunity to move into a tie for the Big Ten lead. They're honoring their national championship team. I mean, it all adds up against strike three, four, and five. It all added up against Iowa. And 16 threes later, Hawkeyes come away with a victory. I actually had a Jack Buck moment. I don't believe what I just saw. I mean, I know you were doing a game, and you didn't catch all of it. But
we were listening.
I mean, it was
quite a bit of it.
It was incredible.
Yeah, and to have Jordan Bohannon do Jordan Bohannon things was pretty incredible.
Man, oh, man.
He just kept stepping back and shooting threes. And he can do that. He can do that. And I've told people every time they doubted him, you got to let this kid play. He's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be fine. He has set the, what, Iowa season record, freshman record for threes in a year. All kinds of marks that he is. And not only him, this whole freshman class is starting to take care of mm-hmm. at this point.
Tyler Cook had a terrific game. And yeah. I know Mike wrote about Tyler as well at GazetteOnline.com.
And every time you start shooting from the outside and making those, you're going to open things up on the interior. And that's exactly what happened in that game. So, wow. Jordan Bohannon was just absolutely fantastic.
The Hawkeyes just had everything going. The Hawkeyes had everything going against him, or you would think. And it was really a dominant performance. I mean, I don't think Maryland made a serious run the whole game, and that's perplexing if you're looking at Maryland and
or does it just show what
future,
the Big Ten is like? I mean, because the Big Ten, no one has said the Big Ten has. I think Purdue can be a dominating team. I don't think Maryland's a dominating team, even with Mello Trimble. They got youngsters in there as well, but I just think this is a team that in a league that anything can happen on any given day. That's what's going to make the Big Ten tournament so much fun when it goes to Washington, D.C., although no one's going to be able to see it from here.
Don't look now, but Sparty's tied for third.
Yeah, here they come. Everyone that thought Michigan State was dead and buried, Michigan State's right there by the time all the smoke clears. So they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Does this solidify seven as far as the Big Ten is concerned? And what happens if Iowa goes to Madison and wins? Don't think it's going to happen, but I didn't think Iowa was going to win at Maryland. What happens if Iowa pulls another stunner?
I wouldn't discount anything at this point.
I wouldn't either. I don't think it's going to happen.
And Penn State's not going to be easy at home in the regular season final either.
Peter Jock bobblehead day, by the way. And senior day for Iowa, Peter Jock and Dale Jones will be.
Iowa had to gain a lot of confidence in that Maryland game.
Yes. I would agree. 319-366-1600. Let us know on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And please do, because, again, we are Jeff's going to be in at 4 o'clock. We've got people, personnel, moving all over the place here with Alex down in Des Moines. I'm off to U.S. Cellular Center, so we've got people all over the place. So please text us.
5232, Bohannon, there's a class act. 1545, silence was golden. I'm referring to the Terrapin fans. It was glorious.
Glorious.
27-23, the zone defense helped, and I would concur with that.
I would as well. 319-366-1600. You can keep them coming in. The text on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Iowa State, what a win against Baylor. We touched upon it a little bit. What was it, 26-2 or some terrible, terrible number like
second
that.
Second chance points or
second
points
chance
in the paint.
Points.
I don't know.
I mean, that is pretty unbelievable to come away with a win when basically you get destroyed like that mm-hmm. in the interior. And Baylor has been the nemesis of this Iowa State team as of late. And you can see why, because Iowa State just doesn't match up real well.
Motley's tough.
With
Motley's
all that
a tough matchup.
Motley's going to be probably an NBA lottery pick. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt about that. If he chooses to go out, and I don't see why he would not choose to go out. He would still have a year of eligibility remaining. But but Iowa State's shooting the ball right now. Nass Long is shooting it. Monte Morris is probably playing the best he has ever played for Iowa State right now.
When Deontay Burton is on.
Banked a three.
That is, well, you're going to have that.
Well, West Virginia banked three.
Yeah.
They banked three. So
Burton, when he's on, he adds just a huge element to that team. And Solomon Young coming on to give him a bit of a presence inside. He was still overmatched against Motley, I thought, but Solomon Young coming on helps that team quite a bit, I think.
And again, when you can shoot the ball, it makes up for all kinds of evils.
14-74 on the text line. Hawks still aren't in the latest NIT brackets. We get no love.
The NIT is going to play out for itself. Hawk fans should not worry about that. Here's the thing, and we talked about this last week. Mm-hmm. If the teams in the lower conferences win their conference tournaments, Iowa's going to be a shoe-in. If they don't, then yeah, Iowa's going to be in trouble. If there are, and I'd say probably about 5 to 10 of those teams that don't get into the NCAA tournament, that get upset, like, and the conference tournaments start up this week. We got a couple of the finals coming up, I think, on Sunday. Atlantic Sun and the Big South come up. Mo Valley conferences this week. If Illinois State or Wichita State don't make it, well, if they don't make the NCAA, there's going to be one or two into the NIT. So you just got to hope for, you can't have the underdogs win if you're an Iowa fan out there as far as the NIT and your chances.
Yeah, you look at the Colonial. I'm looking at it right now. UNC Wilmington leading it, but Charleston one game back. You know, it's not inconceivable that Wilmington gets beat in the tournament. I'm not sure both those teams will get in regardless. So you have situations like that that, you know, you're going to have to let things play out. And since the NCAA controls that NIT nowadays, it's a lot different landscape.
Yeah. Both Iowa and Iowa State women, the Iowa State women, everyone a month and a half ago left for dead. They were floundering, and that was a nice way to put it. All of a sudden, they put together a huge winning streak, won at Texas, top 10 rated Texas the other night, and now, according to bracketology for the women, Iowa State is one of the last four in. Mm. They play Oklahoma State tonight on senior night in Ames. It's back-to-back senior nights against Oklahoma State. The Cowgirls come in tonight. Cowgirls and Cowgirls. You see where I went right there?
I did, yeah.
And if they win tonight, unless they get blown out in that first game at the Big 12 tournament, I think they're in. They're not going to get a good seed. They're going to have to play somebody pretty darn good. But no one thought Iowa State was going to be in the Big 12. I was hanging on. They had senior day yesterday with Allie Disterhoff, Alexa Kostanek, and Schneiden getting their honors yesterday. And I hope Allie Disterhoff, it was a great article, by the way, on Jeff Linder wrote about her. Learned some things a few things I knew, a few things I didn't know about Allie Disterhoff. But just a terrific young lady. She's going to not play basketball after this.
Mm-hmm.
Going to move to New York, being a financial investment banker or something like that.
Yeah.
And she'll do great at it. And I hope she gets that record. I just hope she gets that record because she's just a terrific, terrific individual and a great family.
Been a credit to the Iowa program, there's no question. More text coming in on the Iowa men's basketball team. Andy at 21:33. I'm a big fan of the three-quarter court press. Really dictates the action. Again, I couldn't agree more on that. It's very effective. When you're deep, you play 10, 12 players, you can get away with it for lengthy periods of time. Kenneth at 23:64. Christian Williams is emerging as a good defensive player. Nice change of pace for a few minutes here and there. And I would agree he's been better lately. And we're talking before the show that there was a period of time in the second half that Williams was at the point and Bohannon was at the two.
Yep.
And I don't know if that portends things to come. I would not think so. Bohannon's a very good point guard. But Christian Williams is improving, and at 6'5", 6'6", he can present some matchup problems if he applies himself on defense.
Well, the thing is, when Bohannon's shooting like that, you can't take him out.
No.
So if you're going to bring in Christian Williams for his 10 minutes a game, you got to keep him in there, and you got to move him to the off-guard position. So I think that explains that a little bit. But they've played together on this, on the court before at the same time. 319-366-1600. Hit upon a lot of stuff. Oh, well, yeah, we know the Oscars. You didn't watch it.
No.
Strange ending to a very fun night, I thought, with the announcement, the wrong envelope, blah, blah, blah. In fact, that is the subject of our poll question, and we should have Ryder come in here and explain this because we weren't there last night for the wrestling shenanigans that they had, so I'm not sure exactly what this
means. Well, he explained it to me, and in order to vote, perhaps you need to know the whole story. KGYMRadio.com, who had a worse night Sunday, Warren Beatty or Todd Brommelkamp? Of course, Beatty delivering the, well, he didn't really deliver.
And he didn't screw up, though. It was the people that handed the envelopes. They screwed up. Why do you have two envelopes? I understand they give one to the winner, which is a keepsake. That's fine, but be like a diploma for college. Mail it later.
Steve Harvey on line one.
You've got one thing to do, and you messed it up. And that was a pretty big one, too. It's not like cinematography or, you know, costumes or anything like that. This is the one that people are waiting for, and they messed it up.
As far as Brommelkamp goes, Ryder explained to me, since we weren't at WWE last night, they were entertaining some listeners in the front row, Tyler and Todd.
Hope they had a good time.
Apparently the first, I think they did, yeah. First match of the night, apparently one of the wrestlers gets thrown over the turnbuckle or whatever it is, and instead of staying in the ring, lands in Brommelkamp's lap. I don't know whether Brommelkamp had two
or three. Did Todd sign a waiver?
He had two or three beers in his hand. I'm not sure, but they all went.
Well, there's $20.
And his, his pants are wet. And, I mean.
I don't want that chair tonight, by the way, or tomorrow night at the
I'm pretty sure
Cellular
Todd
Center.
Took it in good graces, but we'll see after 4 o'clock here.
Do they owe him beer then?
The WWE?
Yes. Don't you believe?
Wonder if they delivered.
That should have been the poll question. Does Todd get 3 free beers from the WWE? Yes or no? That should have been the poll
question. That's part of the deal. You sign up for that, don't you?
You're asking the wrong person, my friend.
Like going to a Gallagher show?
There are no ponchos given out or anything like that. 319-366-1600. And then before we get to Mike Colas here at 26 past the hour at 3, we had the Daytona 500 yesterday. First of all, go back to Saturday. I think they're still running the Xfinity race. And it's, no, that was my attempt at humor there. No one got hurt, which is the good thing. The truck race, Matt Crafton, if you didn't see it, take a look at it, because he had a nasty little flip, but happened to land right side up like a cat and came away okay. But Joey Gase Saturday was in the top 5 going into the last lap of that race. Cedar Rapids' own Joey Gase, and just couldn't find a dancing partner to help him out. Ended up with, I think, a top 10, though.
He was 7th, and he was running 4th on that last lap and then just got shuffled back slightly. But terrific run there. And then he makes his Daytona 500 debut on Sunday alongside fellow Cedar Rapids and Landon Castle. And both were involved in some wrecks. Joey, a worse one than Landon, but Landon's wreck came late in the race, or he's a part of it anyway, and didn't knock him out, but knocked him back a lap, and just didn't have the car to contend towards the end. But Landon 19th, his second best finish ever at Daytona, and Joey 23rd.
Not too bad. And that thing, what'd you think? What did you think? Segment race number 1 of the year. It's going to be different at a super speedway like that, but
I liked it. I didn't think I would, and I haven't watched near as much NASCAR as I did in the past, but this segment, 10 drivers, each segment can earn points, additional points, 10 down to 1, based on who where you're at after certain segments. And I like it from that standpoint because I think those guys are going to find out, or if they haven't already, that those points are going to add up at the end. There's no question about that. And then as far as guys like Landon Castle, he was, I forget, first or second segment was 18 or 19 seconds off the pace. That break gives them an opportunity to collect themselves and figure out, you know, something that could get him back in the race. And that was the case until Landon became involved in a wreck. So I don't think it's kind of hokey, but I think I like it.
I'm not sure about the point distribution of it as far as, okay, you get these points, but then you get playoff points as well.
Kind of the rich get richer, right?
I think so. It's going to be outside of Daytona and Talladega. I mean, you're going to have, like at Martinsville, you're going to have, you know, 150 lap and 150 lap, and by the time you get all the pit stops in and whatnot, it's going to help the bigger teams. It's not going to change any. May have changed a little bit as far as the restrictor play tracks are concerned, but you're still going to have, the cream's going to rise to the top, and the people and the teams with the most money are going to ride. What I want to see, and you can't differentiate after the first race, is this. I'm a little bit worried about all the crashing going on. Front Row Motorsports, while, you know, they're mid-size, they're like a mid-major as far as the lexicon.
They're the Butler of NASCAR.
Right. Okay. You know, they're right in there. They're in the Mo Valley. They can't afford new cars every week. You know, Joe Gibbs, just
makes a phone call
and the cars shows up. They start destroying cars on a weekly basis like that, and you're going to see some of these smaller teams in real, real trouble. That's what I'm worried about. So, and again, that's going to be different, I think, at some of the other tracks than it is at Daytona, but we'll see.
Yeah.
More to come on that. All right, we're going to talk to Mike Halas in just a little bit here. Told you about our poll question. Also, the Big Ten, just within the last couple of moments or so, has released their women's basketball all-conference teams. And for the media, Megan Gustafson, first-team All-Big Ten. Allie Disterhoft, second-team All-Big Ten. And Kathleen Doyle on the all-freshman team. That is for the media. And for the coaches, both Megan Gustafson and Allie Disterhoft on the first team. And Doyle on the all-freshman team. So not too bad. Congratulations. I think Megan Gustafson was kind of a slam dunk.
She's had a phenomenal season. All the double-doubles. She had one again yesterday. I think it's a third straight season. Disterhoff is second team. And I'm noting from a couple of our media pals, the women's All-Big Ten first team has 12 players on it.
12?
Isn't that a cop-out? I mean, that's 2.5 teams.
Yeah.
2.5 starting lineups.
True. Yeah, and there's...
That's the coach's side. The media only has 10.
10 is good.
The media has...
Two at each position.
Two squads.
I'm fine with that. 12's a little too much, I'd say. I would agree with you on that.
Give everybody a ribbon for crying out loud.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Mike Halas will join us. He had a busy weekend. He was in Ames on Saturday and more. We'll talk with him when we come back. You're listening to the Gym Class Monday edition right here on KGYM.
Hi, this is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank. Many entrepreneurs love the flexibility that comes with owning their own business. Cabbage offers a line of credit of up to $100,000 with the flexibility small businesses need. Apply online or from your phone. You will get a decision in minutes and can use any amount you need when you need it. Cabbage has provided over $2.5 billion in funding to 90,000 small businesses and is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Go to cabbage.com or call 888-CABBAGE. That's cabbage with a K.
It's time to take a closer look at tile. Specifically, at the Home Depot's new Woodlook Porcelain Tile, starting at just $199 a square foot. This textured tile comes in a range of classic wood colors, from creamy whites to cool grays, from maple to cherry to teak. And because it's porcelain, it's waterproof, so you can use it in the bathroom, kitchen, or any room of the house. Get the look of wood with the versatility of tile, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Hi, I'm Amelia, and at my age of 14, I just don't want to be tied down with any long-term commitments. If computers at your business break, call Network Computer Solutions, and they'll fix the problem quickly and just charge you for the work they do. No contracts are needed that tie you down. You've got plenty of time to worry about commitments later. We have our whole lives ahead of us.
Call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports, like you, with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great.
And we want to help you get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
Back with you, 3:34, Monday edition of the gym class in KGYM. Coming up later on, we've got high school basketball. We've got tomorrow night, Iowa State men's basketball. Senior night as Iowa State will host Oklahoma State. We've got Regina basketball coming up at 4:45. That'll be on 106.3 FM, followed by North Lynn and Western Christian from the girls' state basketball tournament. That will go on 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, 106.3 at 6:20. We'll go to the U.S. Cellular Center for the doubleheader tonight. Game one, Xavier taking on Wallert, followed by West Delaware and CPU. Of course, tomorrow night, a 4A doubleheader. All kinds of future Hawks playing at the U.S. Cellular Center. Wieskamp and Connor McCaffrey. I have a sneaking suspicion Patrick McCaffrey may play for the Hawks someday. I'm not throwing that out as something that's, you know, in concrete or anything like that, but just throwing it out there. And that'll be followed by Kennedy with Cedar Falls with A.J. Green, another terrific player going up against Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Mike Haas set to join us right now, and Mike was in Ames on Saturday for really an amazing game between Iowa State and the Baylor Bears, and joining us here on the program this afternoon. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you? I guess I'll see you over at the arena tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun night. It always is, but then to have all the there are five probably Division I players that are going to be on the court tomorrow night.
Yeah, I've not seen this Wieskamp of Muscatine who's going to play at Iowa in 2 years. He's a junior, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but from what I've told, he's really good.
Yes, very much so. And I think a lot of Hawk fans might show up, not really rooting for one team or the other, just kind of to watch tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, I saw Patrick McCaffrey play once this winter, and he's a sophomore, and he's a basketball player. You know, he just has it.
Yeah. No, I would agree. I would agree all out.
Mike, if you had seen part of the box score of the Baylor-Iowa State game before heading into Ames, you might not have gone, right?
Well, I guess it depends which part.
Yeah.
You know, you could have looked at, if you would have chopped that up into separate parts, you would have thought either Iowa State won by a route or lost in a route. The Cyclones did everything well except rebound, where they got out-rebounded by 20. But everything else, they were about as good as you could ever ask for. It was really a good game, really 40-minute good game. Mm. Baylor's a good team. I don't know if Baylor's got Final Four potential, but I know it's one of those teams that if you've got them in your bracket, you're going to say this is going to be a hard one to get out of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's a team that's given Iowa State fits. I mean, Iowa State just doesn't match up real well with Baylor.
No, and you wouldn't. If you're Iowa State, you'd probably just as soon skip them down in Kansas City. But it's not that Baylor is beaten Iowa State soundly. It's just that they've had that considerable edge when it comes to size, and Baylor's had really good big players, not just big players. And it's no different this year. Jonathan Motley, who just had his way, it seemed like, Saturday in a lot of ways, that guy's going to be a first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are very few players of that caliber you go against in the course of a year. And Iowa State pushed that team really hard down in Waco, pushed them hard last year, but very few teams had won five straight over the Cyclones over the last 5 or 6 years, and I don't think anybody had. But that was a good monkey to get off their back.
Well, knowing what you know now and seeing what you've seen, what do you think the ceiling is for this Iowa State team?
Hard thing to predict, given you don't know how the pairings will go in the NCAA tournament. I mean, last year, things broke really well for them out in Denver. But they're just, you know, I mean, look, they start four seniors, and they have they're deeper, I think, than they have been in recent years, at least a little bit. They're getting, I mean, they got good bench play Saturday. Donovan Jackson's a guard who came off the bench, and when Matt Thomas really wasn't contributing much, and Donovan Jackson did some crucial things for him. Daryl Bowie is a senior who hasn't really been much of a big factor in their success this year, but they sit Burton down for 6 minutes in the second half, and Bowie played really sound ball. And then you've got all these senior starters who I think add up to, you know, potentially, I wouldn't rule out another Sweet 16. Again, it's going to depend on how things, you know, break in the brackets. Chances are they'd play, if they won a game in the tournament, they'd play a number two or number three seed in the second round, and that's certainly not much fun. But, I mean, Morris, Mitru Long, Matt Thomas, these guys have been through this over and over again, so you're not going to catch them, you know, in awe of anything.
The thing about Iowa State, and you can go a lot of different ways, but Naz Long was on one leg last year. And some of the moves I saw him make, not only this past Saturday, but he shoots the ball extremely well. Big component on that team.
Right. Right. He's the kind of guy who, is, you know, he's capable of making six threes in a game any night.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, veteran player, smart player, good teammate, et cetera. Two and a half weeks ago, I didn't think much of their chances of making much of an impact this season, but something's kicked in, and I think that something that's kicked in is they put Solomon Young in the starting lineup, freshman forward, and they're 5-0 since he became a starter.
Mm.
He really impressed me Saturday. I mean, they got killed on the boards, but Young was unafraid to take the ball to the basket and try to block a shot. And, you know, like I said, he would going up against an NBA player when he wasn't guarding Molly, the other guy was 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
And I thought the guy did a really fine job.
The other thing I think that has kind of kicked in for Iowa State is the fact he got so many seniors, like you mentioned, four starting seniors. And you get to the point in the season where you look at the calendar, you go, oh boy, we don't have that many games left. It's time to go, and it just looks to me, especially Monte Morris. I think Monte Morris has kind of dictated this team. Hey, I don't want to lose. I don't want this thing to be over. And he may be playing his best basketball right now.
Yeah, he was Big 12 Player of the Week. If you watch Saturday, you just saw an extension of what he's been doing for so long. He plays so under control and. That's got to have an impact on everybody else on the team, I think. I think you've got some players who might be wild horses with other point guards who play a lot smarter because Morris is on their team. And I guess I would say that one of those is Deontay Burton, who he was tremendous on Saturday. But what struck me about him is I thought he made really good decisions. I mean, he attacked when it was time to attack. A couple of times he actually pulled up when it was time to pull up, which I haven't always was sure that he knew how to do. So what you say, Scott, is right. I mean, Burton's a senior, too. This is the last time. It's their last taste, and they're acting like a team that wants to make something out of it.
Timing being what it was, that game ended just as the Iowa-Maryland game was starting. So I don't, you were writing and interviewing, and I'm not sure how much of that game you got to see, Mike. But I said earlier, I had a Jack Buck moment. I don't believe what I just saw.
Yeah. I didn't get to see it. I watched McCaffrey's TV show last night and saw a lot of clips. Had to stay up late to do that because of the Academy Awards, but... yeah, I mean, best win of the year, bar none. You don't need to explain it. You beat a ranked team on the road soundly, and it was the best week of the season, clearly. A difference maker in how this team's going to be remembered this season.
Mm. Where in the world did that come from? I mean, it's the same as Iowa State. When you shoot the ball well, good things happen. In basketball. And Jordan Bohannon shot it extremely well. Iowa played some defense with the zone, caused some turnovers. And, Maryland was honoring a national championship team that day. That's not supposed to happen.
That's not much of an honor. I guess it just depends on what kind of guys you have. If you've got a Jordan Bohannon, you've got somebody who can probably miss 20 in a row and be pretty confident he's going to make the 21st. And if you got guys who can shoot, we've seen a lot of good college players who were really good shooters who didn't always want to shoot, didn't necessarily want the shot all the time. And Bohannon does, Peter Jock does, and on the blocks, Tyler Cook does. And the inside-outside thing that they had going on Saturday must have been a sight to see. Tyler Cook had what looks like might have been his best game of his career so far. I don't know where it kind of came from, but I think it just comes from guys who simply say themselves, we're good and we want to keep playing.
I was going to ask you about Cook because I know you wrote a piece that is at Gazette Online about Tyler Cook, and I wouldn't say the light bulb has gone on, but because he's had pretty good games in the past, but he was really unafraid down there, and he's a guy, although it's a short shot, he is not afraid to take the ball to the rim.
No. Nope, not at all. You're absolutely right. And against Indiana last Tuesday, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He took it to Thomas Bryant, who's, some people think that guy's a first-round NBA draft pick. And who knows what that did for Cook, but I think that Cook has basically surveyed the league and said, I can play with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he's played more minutes the last couple of games than he's ever played, at least in the Big Ten. He played 34 minutes Saturday, which really surprised me, because they still used 11 players. But basically it was McCaffrey, I didn't see the game again, but it looked like he said, I'm going to ride my hot hands here. And when Cook can play 34 minutes in a road game at that level, I think it tells you that there's some pretty good days ahead.
Well, one day coming up is this Sunday. It'll be Senior Day. Chance to honor Dale Jones, but above all, I think Peter Jock, obviously. Where is Peter Jock going to go down in Iowa basketball annals?
Well, the school's had a lot of really good players, and there have been a lot of players who've matched his career point total, but there haven't been very many who've had two seasons back-to-back like he has. He was kind of a slow starter as a freshman, as most players are. He was surrounded by more veterans than this year's freshmen, so who knows what he would have done had he been in a situation like this year's freshmen were. But as far as growth, I mean, he exploded last year, and this year he's only taken it upward. He rebounds. He he used to be a lousy defender. He got better at that each year to the point where I would say he's pretty decent right now. I find him to have been one of the most entertaining Iowa players I've ever covered, and that covers too much ground. But he just he's got such a beautiful shot, and just so fluid on offense in many ways that you almost take it for granted. But I tell you what, even though I think they're going to have better days ahead as a team, I think he'll be missed.
Mike, I was looking at the Big Ten standings this morning, and I'm reviewing them here, and I'm saying, God, who would I vote for Big Ten Coach of the Year? I mean, 2 weeks ago, it would have been Collins at Northwestern, right? Probably. Mm-hmm. I just don't know.
Yeah, I know. it's a weird season. I mean, you look at what the contenders have done in the last...
Maybe Patino.
Right now, I think it might be Patino. I mean, they've won 7 in a row.
Yeah.
They seem to be put their foot on a banana peel. They got off to a good start this season in the non-conference. And then all of a sudden, things went haywire. And then they do another turnaround, and they're playing better than anybody in the conference right now. So that would be a good choice. The Purdue coach, Painter's not going to get the love because Purdue is projected to be a title contender.
Right.
So that's generally how the Coach of the Year thing works. But, you know, Patino would be my vote right now, I think. I think Collins would still get consideration. Guys like Fran McCaffrey and, believe it or not, the Rutgers coach – I believe it's Picciel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Rutgers has got, I still think they got light years to catch up with everybody, but they've been so much more competitive this year than they were last year. And Maryland, Turgeon, when they played at Iowa early in the Big Ten season and they beat Iowa, I said, I don't think they're that good. And they kept winning and winning and winning until the last three games, and now they've sort of fallen to earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we let you go, you got one thing to do if you're the envelope guy at the Oscars. How do you screw that up? I mean, you got to have like a list. Okay, Dunaway, Beatty, that envelope. How do you screw that up?
Well, it sounds like the guy screwed it up because he was tweeting out a photo of Emma Stone.
Yeah. Well, and so, you can't blame the guy for doing that, but still.
You had one job. I think that was one of the greatest things that there's ever been in the history of the world. I mean, that was so great. An award show where these people are so, you know, full of themselves, and to completely bungle that in front of the world. Come on, we all take great delight in that.
We did.
Of course.
I knew you would, because you enjoy that stuff.
More delight than a pro wrestler landing in Brahma Camp's lap with two beers in his hand?
Well, my response to that is that poor guy, and I'm talking about the wrestler, of course.
Doesn't he owe Todd beer? Somebody owes Todd beer.
I don't know the backstory. and it really doesn't matter. It sounds fantastic.
Pro wrestling, it comes with the territory, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but what I want to know is, was that fake beer?
Oh, it wasn't fake beer, I can tell you that. It's not like Shamu where you get a poncho if you're in the front row.
You know, I saw a tweet from somebody we know who had taken his nephew to the WWE thing downtown.
Saw that.
And said it was like an extension of his youth when his uncle took him to that. And I'm thinking, is this really how you want to have a long life experience?
To each their own, right? That's why the world is going around and around.
We'll be talking to JJ here at the end of the week.
Yeah, well, I'll ask him about his life choices. No, we're just kidding. All right. Read Mike's stuff at thegazette.com. Follow him on Twitter at Halas. Always appreciate it, Mike. Thank you so much.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow night, Scott.
You bet. Mike Halas joining us, and we will take a break, come back, have more for you in the gym class on KGYM.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Hiring is a great sign that your business is doing well. And because you're succeeding, it's natural to work with others at the top of their game. As the world's number one job site, Indeed.com has more than 200 million visitors a month and delivers more hires than Monster, Craigslist, and LinkedIn combined. And we can deliver for you. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're thinking about selling your home, now is the time to think about getting that sold sign planted out front ASAP. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about those sold signs. You see, each spring he buys a bunch of them because he plants them in people's yards. Doug has a nice shiny sold sign for your yard, and he plants them faster than a John Deere plants corn in the spring. Time is money, and Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Planting season is almost here.
You know how to drive in winter. You slow down, countersteer, and do all the things you should. But even the most careful driver can end up in a fender bender on a snowy, icy Iowa day. If it happens to you, take your vehicle to Bob Mickey Collision Center. Every repair is guaranteed, and they work with all insurance companies, but they work for you. It's your car. It's your choice. Choose Bob Mickey Collision Center. Center Point Road, just off the Collins Road exit from 380 in Cedar Rapids.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Back with you at 3:56 to close up shop here in the Monday edition of the gym class and KGYM coming up tomorrow. Stopping by, I think we're reaching out. I probably shouldn't say who it is because he has not confirmed as of yet, but I think we'll be okay. I think we're going to talk some Hawkeye sports coming up tomorrow. This Friday, I want to remind you, we're going to take a week off the KGYM road trip, but we will be back on Friday, March the 10th for the KGYM road trip at Coach's Corner Sports Pub. It's driven by Linder Tire Service, and Todd and Tyler will be down there with their fun and frivolity a week from this Friday. So, again, we encourage you to stop by Coach's Corner, located at 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard.
I received news that Bob Nance, longtime media member here in town and barbershop quartet fame.
Yeah.
He's died at age 89, died last night, and he was a longtime board member of the Cedar Rapids Baseball Club. And I know his wife, Verna, spent a lot of time baking for the players and whatnot, but Bob was a dear friend of the Colonels in the baseball club, so we sent along our sympathies to his family.
Absolutely. Good man. Good radio guy and a good baseball guy.
Yeah.
Very good guy for the city, so he will be thought about very, very well. Basketball coming up later on. Regina in action at 4:45 at 106.3 FM, followed on 107.5 FM by Northland and Western Christian. Myself, Phil Dunn, will be at the U.S. Cellular Center tonight at 6:20 on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM for Xavier Wallert, followed by West Delaware and Center Point Urbana. A lot of basketball. Check it all out, KGYMradio.com. See you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Get a lozenge or something.
I'll try.
Okay.
APC next.
Greeny, you know how to win at business?
Tell me how.
Show up early for meetings. That way everybody who's only on time looks like slackers.
Well, I got a better way to win at business.
What's that?
Instant free nights at La Quinta Inns and Suites.